Hello, this is Della from The Beauty of Play, and today I'm focusing on number bonds for 10. All the number bonds are important, especially 10 and under, and that is because the decomposition and recomposition of numbers is so integral in our calculations of mathematics. In focusing on the number 10, because we have a base 10 system and our number system works on 10 and magnitudes of 10, we are able to manipulate numbers through that decomposition and recomposition of base 10. There are a lot of strategies, especially for addition and subtraction, that are based on number 10. So today I'm going to focus on lots of different ways that we can explore and familiarize ourselves with base 10. Again, 10 is not the only number bond we need to be working on, but it is one of the key number bonds we need to be working on. I'm going to start with our use of the rods. I feel like I've said it before, I say it so often, but I don't know where it's located. But Waldorf works from whole to part. So instead of saying 2 plus 3 is 10, they ask the question, what is 10? And this is an ingenious way to work with manipulatives. For one, there's many different numbers for what 10 is, but for another, it's an open-ended question and it causes more thinking. It's not just about memorization. So I have a 10 rod here, and we're going to make the different number bonds for 10. Now, rods aren't the only manipulative that can be used, as I said before. You can use an abacus, you can use it, really anything that you have a regular item of. So if you have a bag of marbles, you can use marbles, you can use acorns, you can use a wide variety of numbers to explore number bonds. So for 10 and the rods, there's a couple different things to consider. One is, do we want any limitations or restrictions in our play? For instance, what series of two rods, you can only use two rods at a time, make the number 10? So 2 and 8, 1 and 9, 5 and 5, and so forth. This doesn't have to be the only way. Number bonds aren't simply two numbers to make 10. It can be a wide variety of numbers. So we might do 2 and 2 and 2 and 4 to make 10. Or 6 and 2 and 2 to make 10. Or 3 and 3, 1 and another 3 to make 10. But the idea is to play and make a number of tens, and you can do the same thing with manipulatives. After you have them, there are a couple things that you can do. We have these stamp pads, so let me open my book up for us. If I'm doing my number bonds on the table here, and maybe my play is to only do two at a time, so 1 and 9, 2 and 8, 3 and 7, and so forth. The wonderful thing about this play is that you can promote a lot of mathematical thinking. So when you're doing the rods this way, how do we know that we have all the pairs? What system can we come up with so that we don't forget or miss a pairing? And you'll notice in the beginning, that we're just playing and putting, trying to fit things in. So it's going to be random, not in the order that I necessarily put it in here. So if we are doing a random series, how do we know we have every pair? That we're not missing anything. In addition to that, how many can we expect to have? Now, one of the systems is that we can go through and do it in order 1 and 9, 2 and 8, 3 and 7, 4 and 6, 5 and 5. After doing enough of these, your children are going to realize once you get to half, you're going to have the same number after. So we had 1, 2, 3, 4, and this is half, this 5 and 5, equally divided. We can expect to have this series backwards. So what does that look like? We have 6 and 4, 7 and 3, 2 and 8, and 9 and 1. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then our 10 and 0. So we have a total of 10. And your question can be, does this happen for every number bond? Like, there's a lot of exploration that can be done for this, and I don't want to spend too much time on it today because we're going to focus on number bonds, but there's lots of exploration that can be done. And you will notice that these are staircases, and these staircases are the same. So if I move this one this way and this one this way, these are the same. And we are pairing them with it, their opposite, right? Like the one is being paired with 9 and 1 and 9 here, and so forth. They're being paired with their opposite in this. One of the things that I want to show you, we keep one set of rods for stamping. And I just want to show you this because when we're doing our journaling, it's really helpful. And I'll leave a link for this for you. I found that they've lasted us for a long time, several years, and they have all the colors that match and a little extra, but they have all the colors that match. So what we do for this is just stamp this arrangement. Oh, hopefully these haven't dried out. We haven't used them in a while. Into our notebooks. They are a little dry, but you get the idea. We stamp these into our notebooks, and that is an easy way for us to record what we're doing without the intense drawing. Now, if your child, and also the ratios, at some point, being specific about the ratio doesn't really matter, but when they're young, you're wanting to see the ratio, the actual size of the rods, because they themselves are representative of the rods. For white, we use this silver here so that it actually shows up, because we don't actually have a white stamp. And then let me see the blue here is R9, and it stamps right in there. You can be more accurate with it than I am, but these stamps are a really nice way to record your work with the rods. Another activity that I want to show you that is art oriented is a number bond rainbow. I'm going to get my pencils and my block crayons. I'm using block crayons. You can use any medium here to make your rainbow. In the past, we have used watercolors, but my block crowns are just an easy way to go here. So we're going to choose a number. We're going to choose 10 because we're working on the 10 number bonds. And I'm going to put 10 right here in the center. And then on the sides, I'm going to put the things that add to 10. And we want to do the rainbow. Our rainbow is going to have 5 different pairs, and different number bonds, of course, will have different pairings. So I don't know about your family, but they're pretty picky about what goes where and the order. So I'm going to start with the red and just make the first arch. There's my red. And then the orange for my second arch. I think I'll skip the yellow and go right to light green for this middle arch. And then the blue. And the purple. Right, and here we are going to put all of the numbers that add to 10. So 1 adds with 9 to make 10. And for the blue, 2 adds to 8 to make 10. For the green, use a little darker green. 3 adds to 7. Get an orange. 4 and 6. 5 and 5. This little exercise is a really nice exercise after you've done some work with base 10 numbers to put into your math journal. And it's a fun exercise to do, and some kids really enjoy art. Another aspect that you can use in main lesson drawing or math journals for base 10 is to do a series of dots. So if I'm working on 10 and I can work on the rainbow again, we can say 1 dot here and then 9 dots over here. See, we're making 2 different groups. Gives us 10. And then moving to the orange, 2 dots here. How many dots am I gonna have over here? I'm going to have 8 dots over here. So this is another art type activity where we're exploring number bonds for 10, and we're using dots here. So this one had 3, that means this one will have 7. You see the pattern emerging here where we have a gap that's going diagonally along the lines. Another additional way that you can use dots or 10 is to have a series of 10 dots and then group those in different ways by circling them. For instance, 10 can be 2 and 8. You don't want to do too many on one series of 10 because it can become crowded, but it can also be 4 and 6. It can be 5 and 5, and so forth. So you can explore number bonds in this way too. You can also use a physical number line, of course, or one on paper. They work the same way. The one that is physical outside, either with chalk or masking tape on a floor, is a jumping one that they actually jump from number to number. But the number line works the same way here. So we choose one number for them to hop to. So let's say we're choosing 3. 3, how many do we have left to get to 10? And they can just count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 till they get to 10. That leaves us with 7, right? So 3 and 7 would be one pairing. And continuing along the same line, maybe we're jumping from 6 to 10. So we have 6, and what pairs with 6 is 4 to get to 10, and so forth. And you can do this on a number line and also do this on paper. When you're doing all the numbers on paper, it does get a little crowded, but it is so pretty to see all those lines, right? 1 and 9. You can continue to just work with these, and you can do them separately to have more, like these dots here. You can have more than a base 10 number line over and over on your page. If you're playing outside, you don't need to have more than one. You can just have one. Moving on to some games. One of my favorite games to play base 10 is bowling, because the bowling pins come in tens, and this is a wonderful way to play. We had a plastic bowling set that someone gave me, but you can buy really pretty wooden sets, or if you like, you can make your own. Like, you don't have to have expensive things. You can use soda bottles and a ball, or something else that will stand up and a ball. The key to bowling is that you want to narrate the process. You want to say, oh, you knocked down 2. We have 10 pins and 2 are down. How many are left up? I'm going to show you a series of card games that can be used. You can play base 10 Go Fish or base 10 Match, the typical match where all the cards are face down, and then you are lifting them up to see if they add to 10. So 3 and 5 is 8. That doesn't add to 10. That's not a match. And you can continue in this way until you have a match. Any game that can be played with match can also be played with Go Fish and Rummy. And it helps to start with match first, because that gives us the familiarity of memorizing, and then work towards Go Fish. They're having to think of the match for each one, but can do that independently now, and then work into Rummy. These are Right Start's basic number cards, but you can use a typical deck of cards, removing out King, Queen, and Jack pretty easily without any issue. I am going to show how to play Rummy with using these kind of cards, because what I find is a lot of people don't know. And then I'm going to show you a couple of other games with this. Okay, in Rummy, each person gets 5 to 7 cards depending on your child and what they can do. And there is a draw pile and a discard pile. Now, on every turn, you pick up one and you discard one. So if I'm looking for pairs, I'm looking for things that add to 10. When I draw, I can draw one here or draw one here and discard. So if I draw one here and then I can discard and it's the next person's play. If there's a long discard, which there often is, and there are several cards, you can pick up more than one if you can play the last card. For instance, I have a 6 here. I can use this 4 to make 10. So I can pick this card up and all the cards left and make that match 10. But I have to be able to pick up the last, to play the last card that I picked up. And then the game ends when the last person can discard. So for instance, if I'm able to, these don't match, but make a match but not discard, we continue to play until I can actually discard. That particular game that I showed you with Match, Go Fish, and Rummy all require 2 numbers for the number bond. But we know that's not always the case. And especially if you're adding a long list of numbers, being able to group numbers into 10, sometimes more than 2 numbers, is very helpful in adding that list. So there is another game that I'm going to show you, which is Stacks of 10. And the way that this is played is that each player keeps 4 cards at all times. So this player has 4 and this player has 4. On a player's turn, they can play a card. If they can play on a stack, they can do that. But if they can't, they can start a new stack. Like this stack is 7. And then I would pick up to make sure I keep 4 cards. On this player, I have a 1 that can play on there. So I'm going to play on there and then pick up cards so I keep 4 cards. And then you continue until a player can finish. So 7 and 1 and 2 is 10. They get to keep this stack. And then they would pick up a card to keep 4 cards. This continuing with 4 cards and picking up from the draw stack enables you to go through the entire deck of cards, which ensures that you get plenty of practice in making stacks of 10. Tiny Polka Dots is made by the same people that make Prime Climb, Math for Love. And I really enjoy this game because it focuses on subitizing. So it's perfect for young children. They have a series of cards with the numbers on them, but they also have a series of cards with different kinds of dots. Some are arranged in the normal kind of dots that we see on dice or dominoes, and some are arranged on circles. Others are arranged on a base 10 grid. And then we have different colors. And these are different sizes. And this all helps to practice subitizing and matching. Okay, so they have several different games that you can play here, or the ones that are applicable for this, are the dot tens, where you are matching to make 10 dots. So it can be any match in here of the any different cards. Say here, I can see that this is 4 and 4, so this is 8. So this would be a match to an 8. They also have dot 10 memory, which is what we worked on with the number cards. Only this would work with younger groups or if your child needs help with subitizing. And I think those are the 2 for this card game. Couple of other games, I know you have seen this in several videos, but I really like how this game, Ladybug Game, uses amphids to give to the praying mantis. I said the praying mantis, but it's actually ants. You're collecting amphids in this game to give to the ants. And the game is wonderful because there's lots of movement and counting spaces. So this is really easy for a young child. It goes backwards and forwards. But the biggest part is the collection of the aphids. So the thing about the aphids that I think is important is to keep your aphids in an organized fashion. And the way that I suggest for that, needed a white background here, is to do 5 and 5. Because it's easy to see when you actually have 10 amphids. And there needs to be constant narration for this game to be useful for as well. For instance, oh, I see you have 7 amphids, 5 and 2. You just received 2 more. How many do you have now? You have 9. How many do you need to make 10? Because the goal of the game is to give 10 amphids at this checkpoint with the ants in order to continue and win the game. So we need 1 more. And this constant narration of how many you have, how many more did you receive, how many do you need to make 10, is very helpful in playing and memorizing the number bonds for base 10. Also, with these kind of things, you can use these for math manipulatives. It's easy to see, right? We can see that this is 5. We can see that this is 10. They're also easy to manipulate. And if you are skip counting by 3s, you can arrange your aphids in 3s and have the same conversation, right? I see that you have 6. You just got 2 more. So that's 3, 6, 7, 8. How many do you need to make 10? 9, 10, 2 more. The other game that I really like for base 10 as well is Quiddler Jr. And this is a pre-reading game. It does require that your child be at a level that they can know the sounds and start making words. Like, it's an emergent reading game. In this game, you're making various words with the cards, but each one of these cards has points. And so you're gathering those cards at the end of a game. I'm looking to see if I can actually make a word, and I don't think I can with any of these. I can make the word soon here. S-O-O-N. And I get 2 points and 3 points and 3 points. So the wonderful thing about these is that I'm collecting the points and then I'm exchanging the points, right? So I can exchange these 5 for 5, and then I can quickly see that I have 5, 6, 7, 8. And then I know how many more I need to make 10, right? 8, 9, 10. I need 2 more to make 10. So this constant exchange is really helpful in learning base 10. It's also helpful beyond that in skip counting by 5s, skip counting by 10s, and counting in general. This is an excellent game, and I love that we are exchanging tokens, because that's basically when we get to place value, what we are doing. We are saying when we get to this place, we put a number in this place, it means we've already counted 10 in the previous place. And that's what we're doing with the 10. Once we've counted out 10 tokens, or 5 tokens at a time, we are exchanging those for 10. And this one token represents 10 of these, or 2 of these. So that exchange is very helpful, and this is really good for using the 10 number bonds to acquire the tens. And this is the highest points that you can acquire. If you want to use these, just exchange these for another game that's given points so that they can keep up and do the exchange themselves with learning the numbers. So if your child is not old enough to use these, you can use these to calculate points if they're younger with another game. You can even use your card numbers as points instead of how many cards you have in your games so that you can work on base 10. And that is our base 10 work for today. Thanks for watching. If you have any questions, there's a contact form in your membership area, or you can shoot me an email at della@thebeautyofplay.com.